Before we get into today's episode, it is the 1 year anniversary of the My First Marathon podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure you go check out the brand new website, myfirstmarathonpodcast.com. For this week's episode, we're going to throw it back to the very first episode of the show where I happen to be breaking down my first marathon. We'll be back to our regular scheduled episodes next week. And before we jump in, I just want to take a second to say I am so grateful to each and every one of you for your support so far on the show. Here's to another year. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor, and I recently ran my first marathon, which was such a life-changing experience for me. I'm so excited to talk about that experience with you today. Over the last year, I have learned a ton from the running community. Hearing everyone's unique paths to the marathon distance has honestly been very inspiring to someone who is a newer runner in the space, but it also led to a flood of advice, which was a bit overwhelming at times, I'd say. So that's why I wanted to create this podcast, to chat with these runners who are at all different stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences. To start, I am by no means a professional. I started this journey about a year ago, and honestly, this podcast is as much for you to learn as it is for me to learn. So you're going to get a lot of advice, but what I would say is take that advice with a grain of salt. You have to trust yourself at the end of the day because you know what's best for your body. With that being said, though, I'm so excited to jump right in. Let's go ahead and get started. Number one question I get asked when people find out that I ran a marathon is what led me to run my first marathon? And to answer that question, I think I need to take it back a bit because I didn't just wake up one day and go, oh, I'm deciding to be a runner today. It wasn't like that at all. I kind of fell into it by accident. So to take it back a bit, in May 2022, I moved across the country from Oregon to North Carolina to be closer to my boyfriend's family who lived out here already. And honestly, for me personally, I just needed a change. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew that I was born and raised in Oregon, had lived there my whole life, and was feeling very stuck. So I opted to move across the country because I had this opportunity with my boyfriend. But once I got out there, I didn't really have any direction. The full first year, I felt like I was just very reactive to my surroundings and just kind of trying to feel out what it meant to live somewhere other than where I grew up, which was obviously really hard. And it left me feeling like I didn't have goals or ambitions and that I was just constantly trying to survive in this new environment, if that makes sense. So about a year after living there, I was like, I have to get involved in something. I have to meet some people. And that led me to rock climbing. I know that's not running, but that's where it started for me, was rock climbing. Rock climbing was the first time since I had been an athlete growing up where I felt like I was accomplishing something. Every day, there was a new route that I could accomplish. I could work on strength in the gym to get better at climbing. I was like, for the first time since I had moved, okay, I'm working towards something. So that felt good. After a while, I started to get pretty burnt out from climbing. I think being an ex-team athlete, I needed something that was like game day, if that makes sense. Game day. Something that I'm preparing for, something that there's a clear path to. And rock climbing really didn't have that. It was just more of a hobby for me. So that's when I turned to the only thing that I could do without paying a ridiculous amount of money, you're joining a team. I went for a run. Just a random day in March 2023, I went for a run. I think I set out to do 2 miles because I was a little overconfident, ended up with 1.5 miles. Ran it in like 13 minutes. It was pretty slow, but I did it and I felt like, okay, that felt pretty good. At least that's something that I can work on that I don't have to pay a lot of money to do and can get better at. So that's where it started, was just I started with rock climbing. It wasn't really giving me what I wanted to do. Or it wasn't really giving me how I wanted to feel. And then I moved on to, why don't I just try to get a little bit better at running? I didn't have any races on the calendar at that point. I just committed to 3 days a week. 3 days a week, I was going to put on my clothes, go outside, and either run or walk at least 1 mile. And for a little bit, that was all I did for, I would say, probably the first month. I just went outside 3 days a week. I either walked or I ran at least 1 mile. Some days it was literally 1 mile, and some days it was started to be like 2 miles, and that felt good. I was like, okay, I'm making progress at this thing, and it's measurable progress, so I can see myself getting better. that's when I decided to sign up for something. I wanted something on the calendar so that I could look up some sort of plan, stick to the plan, and accomplish something. And that first race that I signed up for was a 10K, a local 10K in the area. And I asked my boyfriend's sister-in-law if she wanted to run it with me, and she said yes. So I was like, great. Now I have somebody to keep me accountable to this thing. I've got something on the calendar. I was feeling so much better than I had in the last year that honestly, the only goal I had was, let me just chase this feeling, see if I can get myself out of this rut that I found myself in since I moved out here. And I found a training plan. The first training plan I looked up was Couch to 10K. And honestly, what I think helped me the most by accident was this plan, because it had no distances on it. It was just times to go out and run. It would be like, Tuesday this week, I have to go out and run for 30 minutes at a certain pace if I want to. But it was just said, go out and run 30 minutes. So I wasn't paying attention to pace really early on. That's what ends up being why people quit really early on, is they're so focused on distance. And I have to run 2 miles. And if the next day, if I ran 2 miles on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, I try to go out and run 3 miles, if I can't do it, then I'm not making progress. It's not that at all. It's consistency in the beginning. If you're showing up on the days that you say that you're going to show up, then you're completing your training block. Worrying about distance, I feel like, is why a lot of runners quit really, really early on. So once I had committed to the training plan, I had something on the calendar, I had somebody to run it with, I just started sticking to it. Every week, I would run 3 days a week. That was it. Once I got to race day, I was feeling pretty prepared. I had already ran the 10K distance, so I knew what to expect. I knew what sort of pace I wanted to be around, but I was just running it to run it at the end of the day. So ended up running that race, ran it way too fast, which I feel like a lot of people can relate to for their first race. The energy was just something that I had never like experienced before. So I came out the gate way too fast on a hot North Carolina day and ended up finishing, but I ended up feeling super sick afterwards and just not good about the race itself, other than the fact that I had completed it. So from that experience, I think I proved to myself that I could run a race and that I really liked the race environment and that I could stick to a training plan if I have something on the calendar to shoot for. So from there, I started looking at half marathon distances. I was like, look, I've only ran a 10K. I know maybe it's a little crazy, but I really want to find a goal and find, even if it takes me a few months to get there, I want to just see if I could do it, just prove to myself that I can still accomplish something. Because at that point in my life, I really didn't feel like I was accomplishing anything. So that weekend after I ran that 10K, I signed up for my first half marathon, which would have been 3 months after that 10K. I gave myself 3 months to train for it. I did the same thing. I looked up a training plan on Pinterest that was Couch to half marathon this time, and I just started sticking to it. It was similar to the first training plan that I had, but it wasn't timing-based. It was distance-based this time. But I think because I had already kind of gotten over the 10K hump, it was easier for me to wrap my head around distance milestones. And for a half marathon, I think you do need that. But in the beginning, I definitely wouldn't recommend having distance goals. I would recommend having time and consistency goals. So once I had it on the calendar, I had kind of laid out my training plan. I started to follow the training plan, and quickly my body started to hurt. It wasn't just uncomfortable. Like, it felt like I was hurting myself. So about 3 months into my actual just running journey, I invested in a pair of shoes, and that was such a game changer. So if I could give any advice to newer runners, use what you have in the beginning while you're just working on consistency. But once you start to actually build distance, invest in a good pair of shoes early on. I wish that I wouldn't have waited so long, because I did suffer a couple of injuries in the beginning right after that 10K that kept me from starting the half marathon training right away. So invest in shoes early on. It doesn't need to be anything expensive. It just needs to be something that fits your body type so that you can build distance and not be in pain. So once I had a new pair of shoes and I had this plan, I just started sticking to it. every single week. I had my short runs and I had my long run, and I was building distance really slow, but it was so gratifying to every weekend be able to run a new milestone. It was like every week I was shooting for something. And like I said, at that point in my life, I didn't really have anything else that I was striving for. So that was so good for both my physical health and my mental health to be able to accomplish something new every single weekend. I would hit a 3 mile marker, and then the next weekend I'd hit 4 miles, and then 5 miles and 6 miles. And eventually I got to double digits. I was running 10 miles and 11 miles. And it felt so good to like be able to accomplish something like that I didn't think I could. So from there, half marathon day rolls around. I was a pile of nerves. I had a lot of doubt. I knew I had trained for this thing, but I didn't actually run the half marathon distance before my half marathon. The most I ran was 12, which I know is only a mile off, but that mile, just not knowing what to expect for a distance you haven't ran is really intimidating. And I remember showing up to the race on race day and seeing all of these other runners who just, they looked like they had their shit together. And I didn't feel like I did. I felt like I was an imposter there. And the biggest thing I think I was nervous about was coming out the gate too fast, like I did in the 10K, and feeling really sick by the end and potentially not even being able to finish. It was the middle of summer. I ran this in July in North Carolina. And if you've been to North Carolina in July, you know that it's nothing to play around with. It's typically very humid and very hot. So I was just nervous. But once we got to the start line, once we started running, a lot of those nerves started to melt away. It really felt like, okay, I've done everything that I can up until this day to perform. Now I just need to do it. If I just kept reminding myself to be present in what I was doing, I was accomplishing the goal that I set out for a few months before. I went from not being able to run a mile to running 13.1 miles. I just kept reminding myself that I was doing the thing that I was doing, and that helped me tremendously. Crossing that finish line felt like a new chapter in my life. As cheesy as that sounds, I felt like I was opening a new chapter in my life where I could take on anything. I was like, if I didn't think I could run 6 miles just 4 or 5 months ago, and now I'm running 13 miles. It was such an unbelievable experience. And I really, really think that first half marathon was the turning point for me where I started to identify as a runner. I was like, I'm out here running. I'm a runner. And even if I have to fake it until I eventually can, you know, live up to that title, I'm a runner. And that was such a cool feeling. So that's when I started to really immerse myself in that world. I had started a new Instagram account the first day that I started running, which is, looking back, very cool to have a whole diary of my running journey on its own Instagram page. So I'm very thankful that I had the foresight to do that. But I started to follow other runners who are a little bit more experienced than me, and getting a lot of advice and reaching out to people and just really immersing myself in this world. It was this whole corner of the internet that I didn't even know existed until I ran that first half marathon and had the confidence to kind of go seek them out. But once I did, I was like, wow, there's so many people in this running community out here. I want to chase this group of people. This group of people are people that are doing something so crazy and so unnecessary. But everybody has their own personal reason for wanting to do it. That was very, very, very cool to find. So I didn't immediately after that half marathon go, I'm going to run a marathon. It took me a little bit to wrap my head around the full marathon distance. But at that point, I was like, I can definitely run and improve on half marathon distances. Maybe I'll just make that my thing. I'll be a half marathon distance runner. I had other people after that first race ask me, when's your marathon? When's your marathon? Kind of jokingly trying to push me in that direction. And I kept answering, God, no, you know, I couldn't be me. I'm a runner, but I'm comfortable with this distance. I'm good to go. Thanks, but no thanks. And I just kept rolling with the half marathon thing. I signed up for my second half marathon in a couple of months later. It was towards the end of the year. The second race was really, really cool. It was in Raleigh, which is where my boyfriend and I live near. So it was in sort of our home hometown, and there was 6,000 people there. To in comparison to my first half marathon, there was less than 1,000 people. This Raleigh City of Oaks half marathon was 6,000 people, and the environment was just so cool. Over the course of training for my second half marathon, I started to get bored is probably the best word for it. I was still loving running and the consistency of it, but running for time instead of running for distance, I wasn't getting that like dopamine release I was getting every weekend when I was training for the half marathon, where I was hitting new distances every single week. I'd hit 10 and then 11 and then 12. And every week I was like, man, I'm getting so much better at this sport. I was measuring it by time, but it was different. It was a different feeling. So I started to think, or I started to increase my distances as part of my training. It wasn't on my training block. I just wanted to see if I could do it. I wanted to see if I could run 14 miles, 15 miles, 16. And once I took that first step, the first weekend where I said, okay, I'm going to set out and run 14 miles, that was my first setback. The first time I ran 14 miles, I couldn't do it. And it was extremely frustrating because 2 weeks before that, I had ran my half marathon. I don't want to say it was no problem, but I ran it pretty comfortably. So I went into the 14 mile run feeling very confident. And that was the first time that I didn't reach a new distance milestone. It was kind of a reality check that the half marathon was maybe the easy part of this training, but getting over that hump is not going to be easy. And I'd kind of written off the marathon again in my head at that point. I said, okay, my suspicions were correct. I'm a half marathon distance runner. I'm never going to be able to run this full thing, and that's fine. I'm just going to lean into this. I like this world. I'm going to lean into this and just work on my pace and time for my half marathon coming up. So at that point, still no ambitions to run a marathon. And I was 6-7 months into training, essentially. So kept training for my second half marathon. Once I got a little bit closer to race day, before my taper period, I decided to try that 14 mile run again. Why not? I got my half marathon in 2 weeks. Let's just try this distance again, see if I can overcome this hurdle. I felt very prepared for my second half marathon. I was hitting the splits that I wanted. So why not? And the second time around, I did it. And not only did I do it, but I did it PRing my original half marathon time and adding an additional mile on top. And that's where my confidence really started to kind of come back when it came to increasing distance. It's like, okay, I can do this. And not only can I do it, but I can do it faster. And I think because I wasn't planning on doing it, I hadn't kind of had it on the calendar or wasn't shooting for it, I didn't have that mental barrier that I had the first time of, gosh, I have this 14 mile run coming up this weekend. Hopefully I can get it done. It was uncharted territory. So kind of doing it not by mistake, but kind of doing it out of nowhere, it helped me get over that mental hurdle of I can't run any distance longer than 13. If you're in the running community, you probably already know the story of the 4-minute mile. But if you don't know, the quick summary is nobody was believed to be able to run the 4-minute mile under a 4-minute mile until one guy, he did it. And then after that, a lot of people started running a mile under 4 minutes. And the thought process behind it is the reason why nobody was able to break that record before is because nobody believed that they could. And as soon as they saw somebody do it, people started believing that they could do it. And I think in a weird way that's what happened to me when I tried to get over the half marathon hurdle. I thought that I could do it, but I don't think I really believed that I could do it. So when I sought out to do it, my mind wasn't in it. And obviously that ended up being a big game changer in my training, because I started to have doubt about the full marathon distance and I felt like I couldn't get over that hurdle. Fast forward to race day for my second half marathon. I was feeling very prepared. I had been PRing my half marathon distance already on a few of my long runs before race day. And I was excited. It was a bigger race than I had ever ran before. And the energy, the race environment was incredible. The whole time there were fans cheering you on. I didn't really listen to music at all because I wanted to feel what was going on around me. I ended up PRing my half marathon distance that day. I was very happy with how the race went. I was kind of thinking on to the next goal as soon as I finished the race. And after that, I didn't really have anything on the calendar for some time. By some time, I mean probably about a week and a half. I took a break from training, and I started to just kind of think about where I wanted to go from there. I've PR'd my half marathon time. I could sign up for another half marathon towards the beginning of the year and maybe work to continue to work on pace. But I just started exploring other options to see what was out there. Why don't I just start looking at other half marathons in the area to see if I can continue to do the same thing, continue to work on pace, get faster, and keep running these half marathon distances. But I kept having people tell me, you know, you've come this far. It's not going to take that many more months to train for the full thing. So my confidence was revamped at that point. It's like, okay, I can build distance again. Let's at least see how far I can get on maybe a marathon training schedule, and then I can decide if I want to sign up from anything from there. But at least I'll have a goal in mind of building distance every weekend like I was doing in the beginning. So that's what I did. I found a marathon training plan. One of the training plans that started from the half marathon distance and built to marathon, I think it was like a 3-month training block or something like that. And I just started building distance again. I would do 14 miles and then I hit 15 and 16, 17. And I think by the time I hit 16 is when I was like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do what I did in the beginning, what I know works for me. I'm going to put something on the calendar so that I'm accountable for it. And even if it scares the shit out of me, I'm just going to work towards it. So I signed up for the Wilmington Marathon. So I had a few months to prepare, but I had it on the calendar. I'd paid. I was so nervous, but I was like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I have to put something on the calendar so that I'm forced to do this. And I started the training block from there. Just like I was saying, we hit 16 and then I hit 17 and then I hit 18. And I just kept hitting these milestones and surprising myself and becoming more confident in myself, not just as a runner, but as a person. I kept feeling like I'm doing something that I didn't think was possible less than a year ago. It was such a cool feeling to continue to surprise yourself like that. And I just kept chasing that feeling. It was I can't even put it into words how amazing it felt. Eventually I hit 20 miles, which was the longest distance run I was going to run before my marathon. And at that point, that's where I was starting to get a lot of conflicting advice from the running community. Like I was saying in my introduction, there's a lot of people out there who have ran the marathon distance, and everybody has kind of their own opinions, and everybody has something different that worked really well for them. And I think when you get closer to marathon day and you start to read all of the advice that people are giving you, you start to kind of second guess how well you actually know this world and if you're doing the right thing and if you followed the right training program, if you did enough strength training, if you did stretch enough, if you are taking the right gels. Like, it just started to get overwhelming, and I started to doubt myself again once I hit the 20-mile mark. I was so thrilled that I hit it, but I was reading everything that everybody was sending me, and I was like, I don't know if I did this right. I don't know if I'm prepared for this marathon. I seem to be contradicting with a few things that people are telling me. But I kept pushing because, like I said, if it's on the calendar, I'm going to stick to it. I just had a lot of doubt. So I started to experiment with things around the 20-mile marker in my training, which is, if I could go back, is something that I would not have done. I would have just trusted myself, trusted that I knew my body, trusted that I was following the plan to the best of my ability. But when it was happening, it was kind of like a last-ditch effort to make sure I was doing everything I could to be okay on race day. And I started changing things. I got a new pair of shoes. I changed the gels that I was using. I started changing my diet around a little bit. And during my taper period after my 20-mile run, I was feeling off. Like, my body was like, this is too much change on top of running a lot of miles that you're not used to. Something's not feeling right. And that just piled onto the nerves before race day. The fact that I was not feeling 100% was very nerve-wracking. And couple that with a taper period where you're supposed to decrease the amount of miles that you're running. So I was taking it, I was not feeling my best and running less miles. So I didn't really have an escape to turn to. The taper period was the most anxious I had been at all in all of my training, to just have to sit there and not feel 100% and just have to trust that you did everything that you could. It was miserable, to be honest. The closer I got to race day, the worse it got. My parents were flying out to be there for my marathon, and the closer that they got to being there, I was getting more and more nervous. It was just that taper period was miserable for me. All of my biggest insecurities and fears and all of that were coming back up to fruition at that point in training. I was having a really, really hard time. Fast forward to the day before race day. We're driving to Wilmington. I dropped my dog off at the dog sitter. We're driving to Wilmington. I get my packet. We're walking around Wilmington, driving around Wilmington, trying to scope out the race. And I started to feel the nerves kind of melt away. It was the same feeling I had for my first half marathon, where once I was there, for the first half marathon, it was once I started running. But for this, for the marathon, it was once I was there, I saw the course, I saw the other runners that were in the area prepping for their day as well. I felt this sense of calm of, you're going to do this race tomorrow, whether you're ready or not. And you just have to trust that you did everything that you could. You learned what you could to the best of your ability with the information you had. So I started to feel better. I laid out my clothes the night before. I got a couple gifts from a few people that were really sweet. And I felt like I had a community behind me, and that helped a ton. I went to bed early, kept my routine the same that I'd been doing before every single long run this entire time. And I finally felt calm for the first time in a couple of weeks. I had to wake up at 4 a.m. the next day to get to the beach. Did my routine, like I said, like normal, the morning of. My boyfriend drove me to the beach, dropped me off. I stood there for an hour, and the nerves started to kick in again. But this guy came up to me. His girlfriend had dropped him off, and he didn't have his phone with him. So he asked to borrow my phone to let his girlfriend know that he made it to the start line and that we were about to start. And as he was using my phone, I asked him what he was running that day. He said he was trying to PR his half marathon distance. We just started talking about his journey a bit. And he asked me if what I was running. I said it was my first marathon that day. And I told him I was really nervous, that I wasn't really nervous yesterday, the day before. And I was okay that morning, but I was freaking out a bit. And he gave me the best piece of advice that changed all of race day for me. He said, if today's your first marathon, then you're guaranteed to PR. So just go out there and have a good time. And that changed the whole day for me. I was like, you know what? He's right. A couple things went through my mind. One, I'm the one that was crazy enough to sign up for this thing, so I did this to me. Two, my goal today is to finish this race. My goal for the last couple half marathons I had ran was pace, but my first one, the one that was the most special to me, my first half marathon, my goal that day was to just finish the race. And it was the same thing here. I just needed to finish. And I wanted to be super present throughout the entire thing, because I wanted to remember what it felt like to be doing something like this. I felt like my first half marathon was a new chapter in my life. And I felt like this marathon was another new chapter in my life. So I just need to be present, enjoy it. If I finish the race, I PR'd today. There's nothing to really be stressing about other than just going out and doing it. So race morning, we start. The nerves, they pretty much disappeared as soon as we started running. I, again, was moving pretty slow in the beginning because I didn't want to come out too hot. Piece of advice, I downloaded an audiobook, Huckleberry Finn. Because I tried to think of the most boring book I could think of from when I was in high school. And I remember being bored to tears by that book. So put that one on to keep me running slow for the first couple of miles. And I just enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed the energy. I enjoyed having supporters there and seeing them at a couple mile markers. I enjoyed, as crazy as it sounds, the pain I was putting my body through, or the effort I was putting my body through. I was so present for 5 hours that I really felt like that experience changed my life as it was happening to me. It was something I had never felt before. And I've been joking since that day that I feel like my life exists in three parts now. My life exists in pre-first half marathon, and now it exists in post-marathon. Those people are different people. The girl that ran the first half marathon is not the girl that ran the marathon, and the girl after the marathon is not the person that was there that morning before the race. And I felt change in myself for the first time in a really, really long time. And I just knew from finishing that race that I was going to chase that feeling for the rest of my life. And I'm sitting here 3 weeks post-marathon now, and I'm the most driven, focused, and happy person that I've been in a really, really long time. And it's a relief to be on this side of things now. So I know it sounds cheesy, but I really do feel like that running my first marathon was a life-changing experience, and I have no regrets about the path that I had to take to get here. And that's why I'm very excited to interview other runners on their experiences with their first marathon, because speaking to a few people, everybody's got such a unique journey on what led them to the marathon distance. And like I said in my introduction, the whole goal of this podcast is to interview these people and find out what led them here, and more than that, what they learned from the experience, so that hopefully you can take a few tips along the way. You can hear and learn from their experiences, and you can have the same experience in your life. So that's all I've got for today's first episode of the My First Marathon podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing about my first marathon. And for my next episode, I'm going to be joined by a guest who, like I said, will be talking about their first marathon experience. But thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.